Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. I'm going to need a little bit of energy and excitement as I welcome you to Vision Sunday. Come on. It's going to be a good day. Hey, before we get too far in the talk this morning, I want to take a look back at 2019 just because God did some really amazing things in and through this church. Because of your participation, your giving of your time and your energy and your resources, I just want to look at this because of you, a church was planted in Turkey. Because of you, missionaries were supported, a Bible school was supported in the nation. Listen to this. In Turkey, there are 70 million people, 10,000 followers of Jesus, and a move of God is starting there because of your partnership. Can we give it up for that? And awesome. Not only that, but because of your generosity, we were able to help women and children that were caught in the sex slave trade industry, they're now experiencing freedom in countries that you may never visit, but that's because of your generosity. I think about the kids that are in foster care in our own neighborhoods that have been given school supplies throughout the school year because of your generosity. Not only that, but because of your generosity, we were able to throw 4 free community events that reached over 2,000 families and individuals, just blessing them with no strings attached. Fantastic. I think about our own campus, about how many people have come to Jesus for the first time, how many people have rededicated their lives to Jesus, how many people have taken their next step with Jesus. Not only that, the sanctuary went through a significant remodel, and the church has grown by over 10% in this last year. So can we give it up for what God has been doing? Awesome stuff. And I want to let you know this morning that I'm grateful for all that God has done in and through each of us together, collectively. I'm grateful, but I want to let you know this morning, I'm grateful, but I'm not content. I'm grateful and I'm not content. So as we prayed, as we gathered together as a leadership team, as staff, and we're saying, God, what do you have for us for this new year? Would you give us a word? He gave us this word for 2020. Here it is, that we are called to movement. That 2020 is our year for movement. And so I'm grateful, but I'm not content because God is calling us to move forward in significant ways, in the ways that matter most. And so I'm excited this morning because it's Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday. Now, Vision Sunday is all about what we sense and what we believe God is moving us toward in 2020. Because here's the truth, is that everybody ends up somewhere, but very few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everybody ends up at a destination, but very few people end up at the destination that they wanted to on purpose. Everybody ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. And so we want to end up as God's people somewhere on purpose, which is why we need a vision for the destination that God has given us. See, direction has always been more important than speed. I'm all about going fast, but if you go fast in the wrong direction, you just get nowhere really fast. Which is why we need a vision for the destination that God has given to us so that we can go there on purpose. Here's our main text for this morning, our main verse. It comes from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 19. It says this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's just say that together. Ready? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what this word does not mean in the Hebrew language, it does not mean that we craft our own vision statement for our life and we just think and strategize. It's not like a corporate statement. The word for vision in the Hebrew language means a message from God. It means God's direction for our lives, which means that where there is no message from God, where there is no clear direction from God, the people perish. They go their own direction. They go their own direction. And so the starting point for any God-sized vision is that we've got to stop and listen. God, what are you speaking to us for this season of our church? In fact, if you're taking notes, write this in. That we can't have a God-sized vision unless we stop and listen. That we can't have a God-sized vision unless we stop and listen. Because the truth is that it doesn't do us any good to create a vision if it's not God's vision for our lives. I think many of us have probably experienced that in our own lives, haven't we? We come up with our own plans, come up with our own goals. We start our own projects that we may have thought were good, but they didn't lead us to a good place because we didn't stop and consider where God was leading us in this season. we end up like the people of Israel, where God told them to take the promised land and to conquer all of the people. And the Gibeonites, they come and they deceive the leaders of Israel into making a peace treaty with them. And this is what the text says, Joshua chapter 9, 14. It says, the Israelites sampled their provisions, but what did they not do? They did not inquire of the Lord. And because they didn't stop and listen to what God had for them for their life, they took a path that was outside of God's direction for their lives. See, we have to stop and listen to what God has for his church. And this is one of the things that I love about this church is we all realize that this is not my church. This is not Pastor Brian's church. This is not Pastor Jake's church, Pastor Jake's church. This is Jesus' church. And so we have to understand where Jesus wants to lead his church, because it's only if we stop and listen that we can catch God's vision. That if we want to end up somewhere on purpose, then we've got to stop and listen. Here's the beautiful thing, though, is that when we stop and listen, God is speaking to us. That every day, in countless ways, that if we stop and listen, God is speaking to us. And when we catch God's vision for our lives, two things happen. First thing, if you're taking notes, is that vision gives pain a purpose. Vision gives pain a purpose. That a lot of us would be able to go further, we'd be able to persist longer, we would be able to be stronger if we knew why we were going through this difficult season. See, if you had a vision, you'd be able to endure it. But why grind it out if there's no compelling reason why? But what vision will do is it'll enable us to persevere and to push through, because we know that the end destination is worth it. And some of us, we need a vision for our lives that God has given to us, because we've been in a season and we've got closed doors. And we're in a season where we're going through a difficult situation. We're in a season that's causing us pain, and we need God's vision for our lives so that it gives purpose to the pain, so that we can endure and get to the destination that God has for us. And so vision gives pain a purpose. But here's the second thing, if you're taking notes, is that vision creates guardrails for our life. Vision creates guardrails for our life. It gives us parameters for what is important and what's not important. If you take a right down here on Canaan, you go down to the PCH towards Malibu, it's kind of a steep grade. There's some sharp turns. And you know what? Those sharp turns are steep cliffs. And you know what's right there? There's a guardrail. Right? And so what vision does is it keeps us from going off the cliff. Vision keeps us from going to a place that we shouldn't end up going. Vision keeps us on track. It tells us where we should be and where we shouldn't be. Because here's the truth, is that we can't do everything. So we've got to know that there's something that God is calling us to do. And so for 2020, as we look at this new year and we talk about the church, let me give you three specific guardrails that we believe that God has given us. That as we've prayed and we've planned and we've studied, there are three things that we believe we need to give our time and our energy and attention to. You may say, why only three? Well, the truth is that you can only do a few things really well. And so you want to make sure that what you give your time and your energy to are the things that are truly important that God is leading you to. And when we say that everything is important, you know, that's just another way of saying that nothing is important. And so you got to be selective if you want to make an impact. And so everybody ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. And so here's our three guardrails. Number one, if you're taking notes, is that Sunday services, that we're going to give our time and our attention, our energy to Sunday services. And here's the reason why. Is that Sunday services, when we gather together for the purpose of worshiping and being in the presence of God, God transforms people's lives. And what we believe about Sunday is that Sunday is a day for everybody, that Sunday is a day that everybody, regardless of where they're coming from or who they are, should feel welcomed and loved and accepted, and a place where they can experience the presence of God in this place. And so we want you to know that Sunday morning services are being planned for, they're being prayed for with your friends and your family and your coworkers that may have never experienced Jesus before. We're planning them with them in mind, which is why our services are about an hour in length. That's why our talks are 18 to 25 minutes. It's about the adult attention span, right? It's why we structure our services to build up and not tear down. It's why when you come, you're never going to hear me stand up here and say, well, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel as we study 10-week series on demonology or something like that, you know? Like, we want to build people up. And you turn to your friend and it's like, it's never like this. I swear it's normal. So Sundays are an important day, and there's going to be certain Sundays, and when you leave this morning, you're going to get a magnet that we call these big days, and these are days that we plan and we prepare. They're significant days, but these are going to be great days for you to invite people, friends, neighbors, coworkers, to invite folks, because we know that when we gather for the purpose of being in the presence of God, lives are transformed. And so you're not just inviting somebody to a church service, you're inviting somebody to encounter the living God, that by your invitation, family trees could be changed forever. And so we're inviting everybody, we're challenging everybody to be a bringer, that we would be a church of bringers, that we would have a church that is constantly inviting. So the first guardrail is Sunday services. Second guardrail is our growth groups. We're focusing on Sunday services and growth groups. And we want to go from being a church with growth groups to being a church of growth groups. And what that means is that we gather together, we celebrate on Sundays, it's a great time, but everything that we do is going to flow out of our growth groups. And so if you need prayer, that's fantastic. Your growth group is going to come alongside of you and pray with you. You need help, that's great. Your growth group is going to come alongside and care for you. You need to strengthen your relationships with other people, that's great. Your growth groups are going to help you do that. You want to meet new people, growth groups are a way to do that, which is why we strongly encourage everybody to be a part of a growth group. Pastor Jake talked about this, but we've got an alpha course that's basically the basics of our faith. So if you're new to faith, exploring faith, want a refresher on the basics of our faith, you get a part of the alpha group. We've got moms groups, ladies groups, kids groups, youth groups. We've got groups for everybody, and we want to encourage you to join a group, because here's the reality. The only way to go further in your faith is to go together. And so we want everybody to be growing together in a spiritual community. So our guardrails, we've got Sunday services, we've got growth groups, and then the third thing, if you're taking notes, is that we've got community outreach. It's community outreach, that we believe that our call as followers of Jesus is to surprise our community in such a way that arouses curiosity about the person of Jesus. That we would, the way that we posture ourselves in service and in blessing our community, that it would cause people to say, why are you doing that? Why do you love like that? Why do you serve like that? In fact, the Apostle Paul, he writes about that like this. He says in Colossians chapter 4, he says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so listen to this, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Listen, if you're answering someone, that means somebody is asking you a question. What Paul is saying is that the way that you live your life arouses curiosity and arouses questions about why the way that you live that you do. You see, the legacy of the early church, before Christianity became a government-sponsored religion, it was a movement of people that were centered around the person of Jesus. And for the first several generations of followers of Jesus, this was our legacy, that they lived lives that were so extraordinarily different from the culture around them that it literally transformed history. In fact, if you look back at the first and second and third centuries, you see followers of Jesus that were constantly blessing their neighborhoods and their cities and the known world in such a countercultural way that everybody was curious about why they lived the way that they did. Let me give you an example. This was during a time in history when there was two major epidemics wiped out a third, up to a fourth of the population of the world. And what that would happen is as soon as somebody showed the first signs of being sick, they would automatically get thrust out and put on the streets. Everybody's trying to keep them away from them. And the only group of people that was going out of their way to care for these people were the early church. In fact, they were going into the streets and caring for them, risking their own lives and their own health in the process. And as they did that, the watching world began to ask, why would you love like this? It aroused curiosity. Let me give you another example. During a time in history when newborn children were abandoned for simply being born a little girl instead of a little boy, what they would do is they would place the child on the ground, the father would walk in, and if you rejected the child, nobody would pick it up except for the handmaiden. They would take it outside, literally put the child on a trash heap, and they would leave it to die, and sometimes people would come alongside and get these children, these women, or these little girls, and raise them to be prostitutes. And it was in this culture that the early church came around and they began grabbing all of these kids and adopting them into their own families. In fact, it was the Christians that started the first orphanages. And while the world was watching and standing by, it was the followers of Jesus that saw this need and did something about it. And as a result, the watching world started asking questions, why would you love and serve like this? That over and over and over again, the first followers of Jesus, they prayed together, they listened to the needs of the world around them, they welcomed strangers into their home, they shared meals with people, they served everybody and anybody that they could. And in response to this, the watching world said, why do you sacrifice like that? What makes you put other people first like that? Where does your motivation to love like that come from? That they lived in such a surprising and shocking way that it aroused the curiosity and questions of other people, of those around them. In fact, by the 4th century, the Roman Empire, Emperor Julius, he basically sent this directive to all of his officials saying, hey, we're in trouble. Like, we're going to lose control of the Roman Empire if we don't stop these Christians. And he called the Christians Galileans. And so he saw these kind of subversive Christians doing, they were out serving everybody. They were the ones that were feeding the poor and caring for the sick and meeting the needs of the lonely. And he basically chastised his pagan priests, and this is what he wrote to them. He said, well, this is actually a historical document. He said, I think that when the poor happen to be neglected and overlooked by our priests, these impious Galileans observed this and devoted themselves to benevolence. These impious Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well. And everybody can see that our people lack aid from us. See, these followers of Jesus lived like this in the first, second, and third centuries, and it was so intriguing to the culture. It was so countercultural, so curious that people began to take notice. They said, who are you? Why are you doing this? And when people asked these questions of these followers of Jesus, they got to give them the reason for the hope that they have. They got to point them and introduce them to Jesus. And so when I think about the church and what our calling is, it's that it's to posture ourselves in such an amazing way in our community that we're serving and giving and blessing in a way that arouses the curiosity. I tell you what, our suburban life doesn't arouse the curiosity of anybody. The way that most of us live doesn't arouse the curiosity of anybody, but our call as followers of Jesus is to live in such a countercultural way that people ask us, why do you serve like that? Why do you love like that? Why are you fostering all those kids? Why do you have 10 adopted kids in your home? Why are you picking up trash in the streets? Why are you doing this? And we get to tell them, because Jesus has changed my life. And so we've got guardrails in this church. A Sunday service where we get to grow and we get to encounter the living God together. We've got growth groups where we get to challenge and encourage each other to take our next step with Jesus. And then we're going to have community outreach where we bless our community so outrageously that they ask us for the reason of the hope that we have, and we get to say it's because of Jesus. See, these three things become the guardrails for us around what we do and what we don't do. It helps us focus. It helps us gain clarity in the direction that we're going to. And so people will say, well, how about this ministry? How about this ministry? Or why don't we start these things? And they may be really good things. But as you know, good is always the enemy of great. And we believe in this season, we've got three things that God is calling us to: Sunday services, growth groups, and community outreach. And the reason that we're focusing like this is because we stopped and we listened and we asked Jesus, this is your church. Where do you want to lead your church in this season? And for our church and for individually, we can't have a God-sized vision unless we stop and listen. Let me end with this passage of Scripture. This is a story about a man who consistently listened poorly, but like all of us, he learned. It comes from Matthew chapter 17, It goes like this. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell down face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except for Jesus. Yeah, look at this story. And you know, Peter starts off really well. He's optimistic. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's great serving with optimistic people, right? You don't want to serve with pessimists. Oh, we'll never be able to do this. This is terrible. What a bad season. Peter's optimistic. Jesus, it's good for us to be here. And he says, you know, Lord, if you want, that's a great way to pray, isn't it? Lord, if it's your will be done. If this is something you want. But the problem is that Peter is talking and making plans when he should be listening. Listening. And God is trying to get through to Peter, and Peter's still making plans. Like, Peter is passionate to do a building project here. And what God says is that he wants Peter, as a leader of the church, that he wants Peter as a follower of Jesus to listen to Jesus more than any other person on this earth, more than any other project on this earth, more than any program, greater than any cause on this earth, that nothing comes close to the importance of listening to what Jesus is saying. And I'll tell you, it's easy to miss out on God's vision for our lives because we're not able to stop and listen. We're so busy. We're running so fast that it's difficult to stop and listen. But I'll tell you that learning to stop and listen to what Jesus is speaking to us is one of the most important facets of being a follower of Jesus. You know, being a disciple of Jesus means that we hear and then we obey Jesus. Do I take this job or do I take this job? Do I confront this person or do I let it slide? Do I make this decision or that decision? Do I go here or there? Is it this or that? And it's easy to make decisions, but it's difficult to stop and listen. And the climax of the story is in verse 5. It says, while he was still speaking. In other words, Peter is still talking and God has to interrupt Peter. And I think there's a simple lesson for us. Is that following Jesus is not first and foremost about doing things for God. It's about being with God. It's about listening to God. God, what do you want for me? Otherwise, you may say that you're following Jesus, but in reality, you're just following your own plans, and you're following your own projects and your own ideas. You're basically running your own life, and you may have a vision for your life, but it's not God's vision for your life. And what we need to realize is that any God-sized vision, and that's what we all want, and God's vision for our life. We don't want our own vision. God's vision is always the best vision. And the only way to have a God-sized vision is when we stop and listen. God, what are you speaking to me? God, what do you have for this season? And the truth is that God is speaking to every single one of us every single way, every single day in countless ways. That God is speaking to you in your failures. You may feel like a failure, but God is speaking to you. And God is speaking to you in your sickness. And God is speaking to you in your pain. And God is speaking to you in your closed doors. God is speaking to you at weddings, and he's speaking to you at funerals. God is speaking to you when you're in therapy. God is speaking to you when you're changing diapers. God is speaking to you in classrooms and in work. He's speaking to you in the shower. God is even speaking to you when you're stuck in traffic on the 405. God is speaking to you through non-Christians. Even, heck, in the Bible, God even speaks through a donkey. God speaks to us through movies and poetry and books and all sorts of literature. God is speaking to you through kind people and through prophetic words. God is speaking to you through our limits and through our emotions and in the midst of transitions. God is speaking to us. But if we're going to move forward, if this is going to be a year of movement, then we must stop and listen and catch God's vision, and then from there, move forward. See, any God-sized vision must start by listening. And here's what I'm excited about, is that while we may have three guardrails that determine everything that we do and what we don't do, we've got one initiative for this year. We're starting one new thing and one new thing only, and we're calling it this year Vision Nights. And that's where once a quarter, we're gathering all of our growth groups together for a corporate day of prayer and worship for the sole purpose of just hearing what God has for us for the next season and the next quarter. And right now, God, what are you speaking to us? Sometimes we're going to gather, we're going to worship, we're going to pray in our groups. Other times we're going to worship and we're going to walk and we're going to do prayer walks all throughout our community. But every quarter we're going to gather and listen, God, what is your vision for my life, for this church, when we're going to hear the voice of God? Why? Why are we doing this? Because we, like never before, are mandated to move forward. That this is our year of movement, that this is your year of movement. And if we're going to move forward, then we must start with listening. And so if this sounds good to you and you're ready to move forward and you say, you know what, I want God's vision for my life. Maybe you've experimented, you've tried your own vision for your life or your own plans, but you're ready for God's vision for your life and you're ready to take a posture of listening. I'm going to invite all of us to speak this over our lives individually, corporately, and over the year. And so if you're with me, you're ready to move forward, I want to invite you to stand up today. And this is what we're going to say. We're going to say, I'm ready to move forward, and I want God's vision for my life, and so I'm ready to listen. If you're ready for that, you're ready for that kind of movement. This is your year to move forward. Let's say this with passion. Ready? I'm ready to move forward, and I want God's vision for my life, and so I'm ready to listen.